The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold. The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Prophet صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم has stated, anyone who recites 50 times durood upon me every day, on the day of judgment, I will shake hands with him. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The viewers of Madri channel, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, is one of the most renowned scholars of Quran and Mufassir of Quran. He was son of the blessed uncle of our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. It is stated in his biography that one day he was sitting with a friend of him who was from the tribe Ansar. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to his dead friend that, "Oh my friend, as you can see that our beloved master sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has passed away, and there are many Sahabas who are teaching. So if it is possible for both of us, let's go to these Sahabas and learn something from them." That Ansari boy, who was friend of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, said that, "Oh Ibn Abbas, you are a strange man. You know that now Sahabas are alive, and if we learn, then people won't come to us. They will go to Sahaba. So we are not in need of learning because Sahabas are still alive." Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that after that I left that friend of mine and I started learning from Sahaba. I would go to one Sahabi to other Sahabi. And if I was ever told that so and so Sahabi narrates a hadith, I would go to him just for learning that one hadith. And many a times it happened that I reached his home, but he was sleeping. So I would also lay and sleep in front of his door, and hot wind would blow and burn my face. Then he would come out, and when he would see me, he would say that, "Oh, the son of the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala sallam, why did you not tell me? I would have come to you myself for teaching you." But then Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala who says that in this way I learned. And then one by one Sahabas passed away, and then people started running towards me, and then I would sit and teach them. And at that time the same friend of mine from the tribe Ansar would come and say, "Oh Abdullah ibn Abbas, really you are wiser than me." And he would regret in this way. The viewers of Madri channel, it means that when we are learning, it is possible that we are small. But as time passes by and we have learnt a lot, then a time will come that we would also become one of the ulamas, and inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal will send many people to us for learning and teaching. So all of us must try to put our children in Islamic schools and madrasas in childhood. And what are the benefits of learning the Islamic knowledge in childhood? Hazrat Hasan Basri rahmatullahi ta'ala would say that learning in childhood is like a line engraved in stone. It means that it is everlasting, like a line engraved in stone. There is another saying of Hazrat Al-Qama radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He would say, "Whatever I memorized in childhood is stored in my mind like I am looking in a book." Hazrat Urwa bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu would say that as long you are child, learn something. Because when I was a child, I used to go and learn something. And then a time came that I got matured, and then Allah Azza wa Jal sent lot of people towards me, and I used to teach them. The viewers of Madni Channel, really the childhood is the best time for learning. And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, Dawat-e-Islami is providing wonderful opportunities for our children. Dawat-e-Islami has opened up many madrasas and many jamiats just to educate the younger generation regarding Islam. There is Madrasatul Madina online as well. So I request all of you that at least one of your children must be hafiz and scholar. As Mufti Sahib has already discussed in one of the silsilas, that it is essential, it is very important for every city that there must be an alim who would be able to educate others regarding the issues and matters of Islam. The viewers of Madhi channel, let me have the recapture of the last silsila. In last silsila, when I asked Mufti Sahib that some people, when they start reading books, so they get tired very soon and then they are unable to continue reading. So then Mufti Sahib suggested few ways for us, that first of all, try to learn small booklets and then make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal as well. And then in this regard, reading the biographies is also going to be very useful. So now these things are going to enhance our interest in reading books, and in this way we will be able to continue the process of reading for longer than before. Now let's ask Mufti Sahib about the children, because children, they also want to learn, but some of them they are not interested in learning. Parents were also seen that they are forcing their children for reading the Islamic books. So let's ask Mufti Sahib that how can we create and instill the love of reading in the hearts of our children?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Having that passion is really the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal. And for getting that passion and to instill that passion into the hearts of children, it is very important to create that kind of environment at our homes. So for that purpose, if parents have that passion and they are habitual of reading in front of their children, so through that they can instill that passion into the hearts of their children very easily. And particularly for that purpose, to achieve that goal of creating that passion, I think if the parent takes some steps, so that would be very useful and beneficial. What are those? First of all, as it is a tradition in many houses that grandmothers and grandfathers, they used to telling some stories to their grandsons and granddaughters. So if they continue that habit to tell some stories to their children, particularly regarding pious predecessors, so through that, those children will develop that passion and habit of reading very easily. The first thing. The second thing is that those children who go to school, if they are provided some books of stories, because children are interested in reading some stories, so if their parent provide them some books of stories, which are stories of pious people, so they will develop that habit of reading very easily. And really, it is the most effective and it is the most useful way of creating that passion into the hearts of children. As I myself have that experience in my childhood, because my father was used to reading books. So at my home, there were many books. Among them, there were some books regarding stories, true stories. True stories mean the stories of pious people. So I used to read those books. And because of that, I had that craze and that passion for reading books a lot. So that was my habit, to read whatever books is available for me. In beginning, I read only story books. Then after that, I started reading some other books as well. And since that time, I have been in the habit of reading books. So because of those story books, I developed that habit of reading in my own life. And really, that might be the story of many other people as well. Because in beginning, in their childhood, they used to read some story books. But because of that, they have developed their habit of reading. So Alhamdulillah, still they read books and they are fond of purchasing books and they are fond of reading books. And they have developed their habit. So I think if parents provide some stories books, true stories books of the pious people to their children, and then if they have some check on that, if they ask them regarding the stories, regarding the books, so what have you read in those books, tell me any story from those books. So inshallah, through that they will develop that habit into their children as well. And the third step, I would say, whenever they go to market for purchasing book, and they should make that habit as well, they should go to market for purchasing some books as well, so that their children can look at them and they can observe in that habit. So whenever they go to market for purchasing any books, they should take their children to market, and then they should purchase in front of them, so that they can learn this is a job what we have to do. We have to purchase some books as well. And then they should do some shopping for their children as well. They should show some books to their children and ask them, would you like to purchase this book? So if they agree, and mostly they agree, so they should purchase those books for their children. And after that, when they speak to their children, so a portion of the discussion should be regarding books as well. When they are at that age, they can discuss regarding books, so they should speak regarding books as well. So I think if these steps are taken for creating that passion in children, so I think inshallah, in childhood age, they will develop that habit of reading the books.
Subhanallah. The viewers of Madinah channel, as for the interesting books are concerned, so Alhamdulillah, Maktabatul Madinah has published many interesting books, especially the books in form of interesting stories. For example, the Seerat of Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then two volumes book upon the Seerat of Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
They are special books for children as well.
Jee.
Some booklets of Amir al-Sunnat are particularly for children. Those have been published only for children. That's why the color of those books, the title page of that book is totally different from other books. Because those books are for children. So, Alhamdulillah, those books are available, and those would be very useful for children.
Subhanallah. And then there is another very interesting book, Sahaba Ka Ishq-e Rasool. So, you can download all these books from Daawat Islami website as well. So, please visit. And other than these books, you will find many other interesting books as well. So, as Mufti Saab has advised us, that we should give them some stories, and then these stories will develop some sort of passion in them, and they would also start reading the Islamic books and literature.
One other idea is coming to my mind. As it is very common in the environment of Dawat Islami to make dars, to read dars at home, and in masjid, and at some certain other places as well. So if our Islamic brother, if they start making dars at their homes, so they just gather the family members and they read book in front of them. So because in those books, there are some stories as well, and there are some lesson carrying things as well. So when the family member listen to those books, so they make their mind that reading book or listening to book is also one thing which deserve to be done. So in that way, they can create their habit as well.
Subhanallah. Acha Musab, another thing, I mean, studying, it is very important for learning Islam and Islamic, information or education, whatever you would say. So my question is that some people, they have habit of, reading novels and then story magazine and digest. So is it allowed for us, being a Muslim, to read novels and these type of story magazines and digests?
I think everyone knows very well those people who are habitual of reading these kind of novels. So mostly they waste their time. As you observe, they get indulged in reading those books, and then sometimes they are unable to do any other thing. Though that is very important to them, but when they are indulged in reading those books, and they are busy in reading, that time they leave prayer, because these books are very interesting. Novels and magazines, as a romantic magazine, as a fiction magazine, so these are very interesting books. So when people start reading these books, so that time, if salat time comes, so they won't go to masjid for offering prayer, they will be busy only in those. So that kind of impact is of these books. So now we can know the commandment of Sharia regarding that very easily, because in Islam, our life is very precious. Every minute of our life is very precious, and that is priceless. because we can earn reward in that minute what we are wasting in reading these kind of things. And that's why there is particular ayah of the Holy Quran in which Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned the qualities of his special bondmen. He said, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. The special bondmen of Rahman are those who avoid useless things. And reading these books is mostly useless. There is no particular benefit, advantage in these books. And mostly these are very harming, particularly when a young person is reading any romantic novel. So what kind of mentality he is creating that time, we can imagine very easily. And there is another hadith in which the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, min husni islamil mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. It is the beauty of the Islam of a person that he leaves those things which are meaningless and which are useless. So leaving meaningless and useless thing is the beauty of Islam. So because we are Muslims, so that's where we should adopt that beauty of Islam. Means we should leave those things which are useless for us and particularly which are harming for us. Reading these novels and reading these magazines, so I would say might be some other useless things are less harmful than these than this reading. Because when one person gets busy in doing some other useless things, so he remains busy for a while, for a few minutes or for a few hours. But when a person gets indulged in reading these kind of books, so then we can say he gets intoxicated with the intoxication of these novels and these books, and then he can't leave that habit and he can't give up that habit. And really, I have observed many people who were, mashallah, very intelligent. They were brilliant and mashallah, their memory power was very strong. But because they developed that habit, so even they were the students of Islamic Jamiat. But because they developed that habit, so they remained busy in those. And nowadays, they are very common people. They are average people. They couldn't do any special thing in their lives. And those people who were less intelligent than those students, but they hadn't that habit of reading these novels, and they spent their time only in reading their curriculum books and their Islamic books. So mashallah, they learned a lot, and mashallah, they are knowledgeable people, and they are something nowadays, and they are working, and mashallah, they are providing their services to Islam and to people as well. So that's why reading these novels are harmful in every way, whether that is worldly matter or that is religious. Though even those people who read these novels and magazines, they can't do anything in the worldly matters as well, because they remain busy in those. So that's why mostly, sometimes we have observed, if we go to the house of someone, so that person who is fond of reading novels only, so all the time he would be busy in those. He would be cramming that, and he would be reading only those novels. He doesn't care who is coming, who is going, who is in, who is out, what is happening around him, what is happening in the world. His whole world is only his novels, because that is one kind of intoxication. So that's why creating that kind of habit is very harmful. That is very dangerous for the time and for the life and for the success and achievements of a person. So the person, he loses all his successes and all his time because of this habit.
Mustab, as reading novel is an addiction, in the same way there is another addiction. That is, people, you know, they are fond of watching sports. So they are sitting in front of television and watching a particular sport. And they are continually, you know, sitting in front of TV, and they waste their time. They even, you know, forget about Salah. So the same rule will apply to them as well.
These are the watchers of sports. I think mostly these are the losers. These are the losers in this world as well as in hereafter. As in one verse Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned, khasira dunya wal akhirah. They bear loss in this world and in the hereafter, because those people who remain busy only in those. For example, if a person is an employee somewhere, now he doesn't go to his office and he is at his home because of watching any kind of sport. So he will lose earning of that day. If the person is businessman and at business time he is busy only in watching that sport, so he is losing his interest of that day. And similarly, whatever people we observe, really they waste their time. At the end, what happens? Mm-hmm. Nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
Either your team will win mm-hmm. or the other team will win.
Mm-hmm.
My brother, these people who are playing, they are earning. That is their job. That is mm-hmm. their business.
Mm-hmm.
So they are earning through that. And they are earning millions and billions through that. So why are you wasting your money and life and time for those people? You should do your own work.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the problem? The problem is that people have a lot of time. Okay. And they don't have any particular purpose of life. There is no goal in their life what they have to achieve. So that's why they waste their time sometime here, sometime there. That's why those people who say we are very busy, really most of the time they are not busy and they are mostly free. Because they don't have any business to do. They don't have any work to do. So then they waste their time sometimes in watching sports, sometimes in reading novels, sometimes in the gatherings of their friends. So I think that is all these things are also come under the explanation of those ayat and hadith mm-hmm. what I have recited.
Achimah sir, during your answer to the last question, you raised a very wonderful point, meaning hard working, that there are some people who are busy reading Islamic books, working hard. So at end of the day, they became something, they became scholar and people started getting benefit from them. But those people who were lazy or not paying, proper attention to their studies, so at the end of the day, they couldn't become proper alim and they remained far behind. So my question is that what is the importance of hard working, mehnat in the life of a Muslim? Because what I have observed that even in deen you have to work hard. And that hard working in the matters of deen gets you closer to Allah Azza wa Jalla. For example, one has to get up early in the morning, and then for reading Quran, that is also some sort of jabr and forcing the nafs, in initial stages. So what is the importance of hard working and doing mehnat in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla?
Laziness and negligence is not liked in the code of Allah Azza wa Jal. And lazy and neglectful people are not like ones in the code of Allah Azza wa Jal. As in many places, Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned those people who are really hardworking and who face some difficulties and hardships in their life. Because even the reward of Allah and the reward of this world couldn't be acquired without hardworking and without doing something. As it is very famous word, no pain, no gain. If you don't work hard, you can't acquire anything. You can't gain anything. And in the light of Quran, if I would say something, so I would say Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned in the Holy Quran, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا. Who work hard in our path. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا. جَاهَدُوا, what is جَاهَدُوا? That is striving. That is striving. That is working hard. That is carrying labor, that is laboring something. That is the meaning of jahad. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَّهْدِيَنَّمْ سُبُولَنَا. And those people who work hard or who strive in our path, لَنَّهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا, we will guide them towards our path, the path of Allah, the path of the closeness of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal will guide that person towards that path. But which person is that? That person who works hard, who strives for that. And those people whose qualities Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, and those qualities are very favorable to Allah Azza wa Jal, and those people are very, very favorable to Allah Azza wa Jal. So what Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned regarding that? وَبِلْ أَصْحَارِهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُ وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. Those people who spend their nights while doing qiyam and sujood, and they spend their whole night in that. And kanu qalilan min al-layli ma yaj'un, a portion of the night they sleep, but most of the night they are awaking, and they are awaking for worship, and they spend their time in recitation and offering prayer and doing worships. They spend it. So what is that? That is hard working. That is hard working because other people are sleeping. Sleeping is not job. That is not hard working. A person is easy, he is relaxed, and he is enjoying his life. But these people who are working hard, who are giving up their sleep and who are spending their nights in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So they get that those excellences and those ranks which are very high in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So for getting the closeness of Allah Azza wa Jalla, hard working is very important. That's why when we study the seerah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so what we study there? The hard working of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the matter of worships, the hard working of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the matter of jihad, the hard working of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the matter of preaching Islam, in which way and with how many difficulties Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spreaded Islam and he conveyed the message of Allah towards people, and he faced a lot of hardships and difficulties in that path. So what was that? That was hard working. And Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in many places that hard working. And similarly, if we study the biographies of Sahaba Ikram, so we will find these kind of stories everywhere. Even worldly people who are the heroes of nations, who are the heroes of nation, if they had not worked hard, they could not have achieved anything. Because they did work very hard, they remain awaking at nights, and they faced hardships and problems and difficulties. That's why they could do something, and they could do something for their nation.
Subhanallah. The viewers of Madni channel, if you want to achieve anything big in your life, in this dunya or any status in hereafter, you have to work hard. And it is hard working. It is the hard working of our pious predecessors in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, that they were able to get closeness to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Watch and observe the life of Huzur Ghaus-e-Pak radiallahu ta'ala anhu. For 40 years, it was his habit to offer his Fajr Salah with the wuzu of Isha Salah. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala, it is stated in his biography that during the month of Ramadan, he would finish 61, he would recite completely Quran 61 times. 30 times during the days, 30 times during the nights, and once in Taraweeh. And then many other, you know, examples are in front of us.
Another ayah is coming to my mind. Laysa lil insan illa ma sa'a.
Subhanallah.
Nothing is for a person except what he strives for.
Subhanallah.
So whatever he strives for, he achieves that. This ayah is particular in other context. But ulama have derived one point from this ayah, that human being earns or achieves that thing what he strives for. So, and there is another ayah as well, laha ma kasabat wa alayha ma iktasabat. For the person, for the soul, whatever he earns, whatever he strives for, so he earns that thing what he strives for. So these are another ayah which are for hard working.
And then the viewers of Madhi channel, Mufti Sahib also told us that hard working people will be able to win the pleasure of Almighty Allah. And as for those who are lazy, they are lazy in offering Salah. At the time of Salah, they are sleeping. And on the other occasions where farais are upon them, but they are lazy not offering them. So because of that laziness, one can go to Jahannam, but not to Jannah. If you want to win the pleasure of Almighty Allah, if you want to attain the pleasure of Almighty Allah, and if you want to get Jannah, so you have to work hard and strive in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. Acha Mustab, as we are discussing about the books, so then in one of the last silsilas, you said that books of Ulama-i Haq should be read. So this is regarding the books. So what about the speeches and lectures? So lecture of only Ulama-i Haq should be listened, or it is also allowed for us to listen to the lectures of other people? Because some people, they say, you should listen to everyone, and then it is upon you to decide.
The same commandment is here, as we have recommended that our people must read only those books which have been written by guided people, not from the deviant people. So similarly, I would say, listening to the speeches of those people who are away from the basic beliefs of Islam, that should be done, that should be listened. Why? Because sometimes speeches are more effective than books. Because when we read books, so sometimes we are in our bed, we are in our chair, and if we are reading, so that time sometimes we close the book and we go to somewhere. So book doesn't have that kind of impact. But when we listen to someone, so mostly we sit in front of that person, and that person is, through his words, through his style, and through his pitch of voice, he can instill many effects in our mind. So that's why might be the impact of speech would be more than the impact of a book. So that's why when a person is not allowed to read the books of deviant people, he's not allowed to listen to the speeches of these kind of people as well. And that's why the one story is coming to my mind. Imam Muhammad bin Sini rahmatullah alayh, he was a very famous scholar of hadith and the scholar of many other Islamic sciences as well. So two people came to him and they requested him to read some ayah of the Quran in front of him. He refused that request. I don't want to listen to the verses of the Holy Quran from you, particularly from you. I don't want to listen to the verses of the Holy Quran. Then they requested, okay, so that if you allow us to read some ahadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in front of you, he refused that as well. So then those people went out. So some of his companions asked him, what did you do? Because those people were saying, we wanna recite some verse of the Holy Quran in front of you, and you refused. Then they said, we wanna read some ahadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in front of you, and you refused. So what was that? Then Imam Muhammad bin Sirin rahmatullah alayhi said, these people were deviant people. They were misguided people. Their beliefs were not according to the beliefs of Sahaba and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Though they had to recite only some verses of the Quran, and they had to read some ahadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they might have explained those ahadith and ayat in their own way according to their own beliefs, and they might have misguided me. I might have some points from their speech in my mind, and then I got misguided. So that's why I refused to listen to those people. So if that kind of imam and leader of Muslims, who is scholar and mashallah, who is a prominent scholar of Islam, when he had that kind of suspicion that if I listen to these people, so they might misguide me. So when he is refusing that, so what about other people? So that's why it's very important to away and to abstain from those people who can misguide and who can infuse some suspicions in our mind. And the harm of listening to these people, there is one story I read somewhere. There was a person, apparently he was a very pious person, but at his deathbed, when other people said to him to recite Kalima Tayyiba, he said, I am unable to recite Kalima Tayyiba because there is a mountain of fire in front of me. Whenever I about to recite Kalima Tayyiba, that come towards me, and because of that I am unable to recite Kalima Tayyiba. And then he died because of that. After his death, someone saw him in dream and asked him, what was the reason why were you be deprived of reciting Kalima Tayyiba at your deathbed, while you were a very pious person, apparently you were a very pious person. So what was the reason? So then he told, I was deprived of reciting Kalima Tayyiba at my death time because I used to sit in the company of those people who would abuse Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. So because I used to sit in the company of those abusers of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq and Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, so because of that, I got deprived of reciting Kalima Tayyiba at my death time. So that is the harm of listening to those people. That is the harm of sitting in the company of those people. So that's why it is the matter of our iman, and it is the matter of our eternal life. The pleasure and the blessings of eternal life are the punishment of eternal life. So that's why we must be very careful regarding reading the books of these kind of people and regarding listening to these kind of people.
As you are making mention of the bad impact of sitting in the company of wrong people, so you also told us in one of the last silsilas that sitting in the company of ulama, it has many excellences, and
for learning knowledge and for getting the blessings of those scholars and to improve our condition regarding good deeds.
So you discussed this thing as well. So I mean, some people, I heard some of one, many a times it happened, that some people, they say that there are some scholars, some of them do such a wrong thing that we don't find any soft corner in our hearts for them. You know, we start disliking them. So now my question is that if someone is involved in this kind of situation, so what must we advise him?
I would say, as I have give that suggestion, to sit in the company of pious people and scholars. In the company of the scholars, we will learn knowledge. In the company of pious people, we will get their blessings, and because of observing their actions, we will get the love of doing good deeds as well. But sometimes happens something opposite to it. We observe some disliking in scholars or in pious people, and the people get disturbed, mentally disturbed by them. So first of all, I would say, before joining any scholar or any pious people, we must make a little bit research about those scholars and pious people, whether they will have good impact on our life, and our mentality and mindset is matching with them or not. The first of all, we should do that, because sometimes the nature of a scholar or the nature of a pious person is different from us. So because of the difference of nature, we can't sit in the company of those people, and because of that difference in nature, we get very away from them after joining their company. So first of all, we should make a little bit of research, means asking to other people regarding those scholars, regarding those pious people. That is the first thing. The second thing is this, that when we join the company of any scholar and any pious person, we must keep in our mind that we are joining scholars. We are joining pious people, not prophets. Prophets are innocent. They can't commit any sin. They can't make any mistake. But these people who are scholars or pious people, they are human beings. And they are the people of Ummah, not the prophets of Ummah. So that's why they might commit any sin, they might make any mistake. So that's why mentally we must be prepared in advance, that if I observe any mistake, any wrong in their character, so I would ignore that, and I would focus upon my own benefits and advantages, what I will attain and I will acquire from these people. So we must consider those people as people like us, not the prophets of Allah Azza wa Jalla, because they are not the prophets of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The second thing. The third thing is this, that when we have to get some blessings of someone, we should focus upon the piety and we should focus upon the good things of that person, rather than focus upon everything of that person, because when those people are not prophets, so they might make any mistake. But when we focus only upon their good things, upon their worships, upon their knowledge, and we will focus upon our own mistakes rather than the mistakes of those people, so then we will be away from that kind of mindset and disturbance. The third thing. The fourth thing I would say, if there are some mistakes and some wrongs in the character of those people, so we should say, if these people are sinner, so we are bigger sinner than them. If they commit any mistake, so we make mistakes more than them. So that's why we should focus upon only our own mistakes, not the mistakes of those people. And if those people are like us in sins, if we commit 10 sins, so they are also committing 10 sins, so then we should consider that though in character-wise they are like us, but they have the excellence of knowledge. They have the excellence of knowledge, and in that excellence, they are better than us. So in every way, we should keep our mind in positive thinking. So I think if we choose that way, so then if any mistake appears in front of us, so we would ignore. And the last thing I would say, we should think about those benefits which we are acquiring from those people, rather than the character of those people. So I think if we focus upon only these things, so then that would be better for us to sit in the company of those people.
Inshallah. The viewers of Madni channel, let me give you a beautiful excellence of sitting in the company of ulama and pious people. On the day of judgment, someone will be in trouble. And it is stated that all of a sudden he would see a scholar, then he would rush to him, and then he would try to introduce himself to that scholar, and then he would say that, "You remember once I came to you and I put water on your hand so that you can wash your hands." So that scholar will say, "Okay, it may be like this." Then he would say, "Then please make intercession for me in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal." And the viewers of Madin channel, it is stated that because of the intercession of that scholar, he will be forgiven and Allah Azza wa Jal will grant him place in Jannah. Then there is another thing. If you are serving the scholars, so inshallah Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal will put love of scholars and knowledge and ilm in your heart, and either you yourself will try to become scholar, or you will try to make your son a scholar. And it is also, I read someday, that if you are serving a scholar, so if you are unable to become scholar, then your son will become scholar. And if your son is not able to become scholar, then inshallah Azza wa Jal, your grandson will become scholar. And then those who are scholars, what is the status and rank of them in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal? It is stated that scholar will be given special opportunity to make intercession for their friends, for their family members and for their relatives. And inshallah, because of the intercession of one scholar, many people would be granted place in Jannah. Acha Mufti Sahab, one of the silsila, you were also saying that فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, meaning you were persuading the viewers that you must go to the scholars and ask them if there is any issue regarding your salah, your talaq, or whatever, things of your life, whatever problems of your life, you go to scholars and ask them. So many people, they go and they ask the scholars, but sometimes they make very, strange kind of mistakes, funny mistakes, I would say. So my question is, what is the proper way of asking the question, and what are the manners which must be observed when we go to scholars and ask them something?
There is a list of manners which have been written in books, in which way the common people should go to scholar and they ask them questions. Sometimes it depends upon the nature of question. What kind of question is that? For example, if a person has to take fatwa, so because fatwa is very important matter and that is very sensitive, so the manners for getting fatwa are different, and manner of asking very common question from scholars, those are different. And I would discuss only the second matter, asking the common questions from the scholars. So I would say, first of all, the scholar from whom a person is asking question, that scholar must be a real scholar. He must not be only in the name of scholar. As Imam of Masajid, the people consider them as scholar, though they are not scholar. Most of them are not scholars. They are only Hafiz al-Quran and they are Qari al-Quran. So they don't have that kind of knowledge. In the light of that, they can teach other people and they can tell other people. So that's why it is very important to go to that scholar which is really scholar, the first thing. The second thing is, when we go to any scholar, so then we should tell him the whole situation. What is the situation in which we are asking that question? Because sometimes answer varies situation to situation. In some situations, scholar will give answer in other manner. And in another situation, he will give the answer in another manner. So that's why it is very important to tell him the situation. The third thing is that when we have asked question from one scholar and that is valid and that is prominent scholar, so then we shouldn't go to another scholar. Otherwise, sometimes there is a difference of opinions among scholars. And when we go to many scholars and we ask that question from many, then we get disturbed. The answer of first scholar is different, the answer of second scholar is different, the answer of third scholar is different. So then the people get confused. And then they are unable to act upon the commandment of Sharia because they don't know what is the commandment of Sharia and upon what we have to act upon. So that's why it is very important to go to only one scholar. Then the person who wanna learn that mas'ala, he should go to that scholar himself rather than sending other people. because it happens many times that when people send other people to ask question, these people go to scholar, they tell mas'ala, they tell issue to scholar in other manner, and that scholar give answer in other manner, then these people come and they transfer the answer of that scholar to this person, they change the words. Sometimes only because of some changes in few words, the whole answer changes. So that's why it is very important to go yourself, so that you can listen yourself and you can't miss any word. That is very important. And after that, there's another manner of asking a question. Whenever we ask any question, we must have the intention of acting upon that. That not be the intention that if that answer would be according to our will, then we will act upon, and if that answer wouldn't be according to our will, we won't act upon that. No. Whatever the commandment of Sharia appear in front of us and we will be told, we will be acting upon that. So these should be the manners of asking questions from scholars.
So Masab, as we have a wonderful department of Darlifta as well, meaning for the viewers of Madini channel, that if they want to ask something about any issue regarding Islam, Deen, their Salahs and whatever, so religious issues, so we have complete department and you are head of that department. It is called Darlifta Ahle Sunnat. So I request very humbly, please give little bit introduction of Darlifta Ahle Sunnat.
Darlifta Ahle Sunnat is one department of Dawat Islami, and that is very prominent department, because that is the main source of teaching Islamic commandments regarding fatwa to people. So there are many Darlifta Ahle Sunnat, alhamdulillah, particularly in Pakistan, not only in Pakistan, but alhamdulillah, for the people of the entire world, we have some other facilities, as on WhatsApp. So WhatsApp facility is available, and email is also available, and other than that, the phone is also available, so the people can call us, they can send their messages through WhatsApp, and they can send their emails containing their questions. So, and if they are in Pakistan, so they can come to our Darlifta, which are in many cities of Pakistan, in Karachi, Lahore, Faisalabad, Rawalpindi, Hyderabad, and in Sargodha. So in these cities, we have, alhamdulillah, our Darlifta. So if people can come to those Darlifta, so that would be the best way to learn those commandments. Because when person comes to Darlifta, and he sits in front of scholar, so scholar can ask many questions from that person, and that person can ask many questions, and if he needs any explanation of any masla, so he can ask that explanation on the spot. So these are the, alhamdulillah, these are the means which are available in the environment of Dawat Islami. So through email, through WhatsApp, through calls, and through visiting our Darlifta, so they can ask questions.
Jazakallahu khairan, Mufti Sahab. The viewers of Madri channel, as Mufti Sahab have told us, that we have a complete department only to deal with the issues or the problems which you are facing in your religious matters. So you can contact Darlifta Ahle Sunnat through email, through WhatsApp, and through telephone calls as well. So inshallah, your questions will be answered sooner or later, and in this way you will be able to have proper Sharia guideline from those people who are really competent and able to answer your questions. So inshallah, see you in next silsila. I make dua that may Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal grant us knowledge and make us practicing Muslim. Ameen, ameen, bijahin nabil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because